259 recording this for December 9th, Sunday, 2007. My name is Larry Herb, Xbox Live Major Nelson, here along with E.
Hello, everyone.
Who E is saying hello to everyone. It's the first time you and I have seen each other in a few days.
Well, you were off on the East Coast getting snowed on, weren't you?
Yep, I was off on the East Coast. I'll tell you about that later on. We have a pretty long show today, as most people have figured out by the download. Most of the show is taken up by Jeff Keighley, who tells us some cool behind-the-scenes stories about the Spike TV 2007 Video Game Awards, which were held Friday night in Las Vegas.
Cool.
Yeah.
And they're airing Sunday night.
Sunday night. They start Sunday, and then I'm sure they're going to, like those cable shows like to do, run it a billion times for the next 2 weeks.
Right. So if you miss it, you'll have a few chances.
Yeah, so fire up your favorite TiVo, DVR, whatever, you know. Whatever you like to record your broadcast television with, and take a look at that. So we'll have Jeff on. He'll be along later on. I did that interview on Saturday, so it's kind of this weird time between the time the show recorded and the time that the show airs. I haven't even seen the show yet, which means you haven't seen it yet.
Nope.
So, but he tells some interesting stories. In fact, I'm gonna make sure you listen, because he tells us how they didn't use envelopes to present the awards, and I'm not going to tell you what they use. You'll have to listen to the interview for that.
Okay.
So Jeff Keighley's along, and then also another good friend of the show and a big winner at the Spike TV Awards, Ken Levine.
Good for Ken.
He's going to come along and tell us about the BioShock downloadable content, the free content that's available this week. So where do you want to start, E? And then we had a dashboard update.
That's as good a place as any to start, I think.
We did have a dashboard update, which went out on Tuesday. Everything was okay, E?
Yeah, things went pretty good. The service got a little wonky Tuesday night.
Bogged down, would you say?
That's a fair description, yeah.
Okay.
Just a lot of people hopping on at once, getting themselves the new dashboard, all the things that came with it, trying out Inside Xbox and everything else. We got it straightened out. Things are good.
Things are good, and everybody's fine, and people seem to enjoy the Inside Xbox. So I want to explain Inside Xbox. It's on your Xbox Live Blade. It's there right at the top above your message and your friends list. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people may not know this, but when there's new content there, do you know that it pulsates orange?
It does?
Yeah. In fact, look, I've got it up right behind you. Take a look. I've got the Xbox on.
Turn your controller on.
I'm going to turn my controller on, because right now my Xbox is dimmed. Whoops. See how it's kind of pulsing?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
the little icon. Okay.
Yeah, it goes orange. So when there's new content in there, it will actually kind of undulate an orange.
Undulate.
Undulate. It'll just kind
what?
Of...
No, pulse. Undulate.
I don't know.
U-N-D.
That's a tricksy word, I guess. But it will pulse orange, and that means that there's new there's new content there. And the Inside Xbox is something that's programmed from the Xbox.com team, which is great. I'll have a space up there each week where I get to talk about a lot of different things, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that they may see stuff in there that I do that maybe they've heard on the show before, because really it's not... Inside Xbox is really broad. It's for a lot of people that maybe not even aware who Major Nelson is.
There are people who don't know who Major Nelson is.
Which is fine.
I'm stunned.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't know who he is. So Inside Xbox is there. We are streaming this video. Here's a little behind-the-scenes trick. We actually shoot it in HD, and then we have to compress it down. We can't stream in HD because a lot of people wouldn't be able to receive it, as you know.
Sure.
So we stream it at the highest bit rate that we can go without people getting too much buffering. And then we'll do that. So we'll be doing some videos. I'll probably have a video up a week and so forth. I'm trying to shoot a couple weeks ahead because it's the holiday coming soon.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of people going poof very soon.
It means they're going away.
Yes. That going poof isn't clear?
Well, they're going to be coming back, but they're not going to go away forever.
Okay, fair point. But it is the holiday season, and there's a lot of people getting ready to go on long vacations.
Which doesn't really matter to you people at home, because you're going to be playing all these great games.
Well, that's what I do on my vacation. I'm taking a console with me.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Maybe you'll finish BioShock. I want to let you know, I talked to Ken Levine about that, the fact you haven't finished it. It's not in the interview. I talked about it afterwards.
And what did he have to say? I know.
Maybe he doesn't think it's a good game. I don't know why he doesn't want to finish it.
I gave BioShock lots of love on this before.
Yep. So.
Back in August?
And Ken's given it back in terms of downloadable content, and the Spike TV Awards seem to like it. So what are you going to play? We want to talk about what we've been playing this week? You've been playing...
I am very close to done with Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been... I could have been done, but I've started to spend a little time, you know, picking up flags and going after achievements like pickpocket 200 knives.
Some
those
of the
kind
side
of
missions.
Yeah, but I'm really close to done with that. I might finish it tonight.
Good.
Guitar Hero 3,
yes.
Rock Band. Those are amazing time sinks. Mm-hmm. I'm just stunned at how easily you can lose yourself in those.
Yes.
And Halo 3, of course.
Do you want to know something about Halo 3? I haven't told you this.
Okay.
I played the new maps.
Oh, they're nice, aren't they?
I was playing them. There's the three maps that are coming out this week for 800 points. Coming out on Tuesday.
December 11th.
And I was playing them, and they are, first of all, they're beautiful.
Yes.
I don't even remember each of the names. There's Rat's Nest, which is this huge, it's big. It's a big indoor map through caves, and there's a little bit of outsideness.
Outsideness?
Yeah, goes outside.
Okay.
There's some outsideness. And then there's the... And then there's the foundry, which is the one where you can build things.
It's the Forge Playground level.
The Forge Playground level. And there's the third one, which I don't recall the name of it, but it's the one that's outside with the big satellite dishes.
Oh, okay.
The lighting on that one is just... There's two things I really like about that. The level's really fun, but the lighting is just a blast. The lighting is so nice, and then the audio is really cool as well.
And it seemed like when they built the levels, they kind of had in mind, here's how we could use these in multiplayer,
right.
And let's set them up so they're going to be really good at CTF or Assault or
right.
whatever.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to it.
So those will be out on Sunday. I look forward to playing some of those
with
you.
They'll be out on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Did I say Sunday?
You said Sunday.
I'm sorry. They're not out on Sunday. They're out on Tuesday the 11th.
They'll be out next Sunday.
I've got to change my calendar here because I'm still in November. It's been a crazy year. There we go. December. Yeah, Tuesday the 11th. So you're playing, what did I do this week? I didn't play that much this week. I played Mass Effect, and I talk about this with Jeff Keighley in the interview. Here's a little bit of I don't want to give the spoiler.
Okay.
But
you've teed it up. But.
Listen to the Jeff Keighley interview. There's actually a piece where I tell you to stop listening because there is a spoiler. And you'll see why I'm so despondent over what happened in Mass Effect.
Okay.
So we'll talk about... Jeff and I talk about that. So I've been playing a little bit of Mass Effect. I played the gunship level in COD4 again.
See, I have... I still have... That. I've got to drop my copy of COD4
yeah,
in.
You haven't even done that.
In between Assassin's Creed, Guitar Hero, and Rock Band,
right.
And then the occasional, you know, bunch of friends going, hey, come play Halo.
Right.
And, you know, work, things like the dashboard. There are not enough hours in the week.
Let's talk about the full dashboard update. We talked a little bit about that at the beginning, but so there's the Inside Xbox feature, there's the Friends of Friends feature,
there's a huge list of new features. There's...
What do they call it?
Enhanced... No, it's... isn't it Enhanced MPEG-4 Advanced Simple Profile Support, something like that? I don't remember.
That's the official name. The unofficial name is, well, it's DIVX support.
Yes. Certain codecs, it won't go all the way back. If you have I've seen some complaints of, hey, I've got these things that I encoded in DIVX 3, you know, 5 years ago, and they don't work. And that's right. I think last week you linked the video playback FAQ.
Yeah.
And that has the exact details on if it's encoded with this version of the codec and these specs, it will work. Otherwise,
right.
It won't.
So I'll put a link up to that on the blog. So that's new. There's the age graduation stuff, which is working quite well.
Age graduation.
There are some issues with age graduation. Some people are kind of stuck in this weird zone. I know they're fixing it. Or did they do that?
We fixed a whole bunch of things. The one I think that the most people were running into was they couldn't get all the way through the age graduation process because they were trying to use the same credit card they originally used as a minor.
Right.
And there was an issue there. That issue is now fixed.
Okay, go ahead.
So everyone who was experiencing that, if you haven't already tried again, you should sail through.
Yeah, go ahead and try that again. And yes, we did test this, but there was some weirdness going on upstream from us that was introduced.
That's a good way to describe it.
So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the one a lot of people are excited about is original Xbox Originals.
Yes. Original Xbox Originals is, I mean, for a lot of people, it's easy to forget. We're the hardcore. We've played all these games before.
Right.
And we remember them when they came out. But there are a ton of people that have never played, you know, the original Halo. They didn't own an Xbox One. They've never seen Psychonauts or Crimson Skies or Fable. There's some great gameplay in there.
Crimson Skies
was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. That was a hot title.
we spent a lot of time playing that. And of course, I mean, Halo, I don't think I can really express how much time I've spent playing the various Halos over the years.
The Halos.
Yeah.
With a Z.
Pretty much, yeah.
Halos with a Z. So Xbox Originals, a lot of new features up there. I'll put a list, a link to all of them. It was a good week. The week before we had the back and pad update, we talked about that. It's just,
right.
God, it feels like it was like years ago that we did this.
Well, and
it's been a long week.
And the holiday season is not done. International Video Marketplace.
Oh, that's right.
Comes online on Tuesday, just like the Halo 3 maps.
Right.
So if you're in, let me see if I can remember the list off the top of my head, Canada, UK, Ireland, France, and Germany.
You better know these. Your team has to serve up video to them.
I think that's the list. So that comes online on Tuesday. It's been funny to read the comments.
Why?
Because they're so similar to the comments I remember reading about Video Marketplace in the U.S. last year.
A year ago.
Yeah. The number one complaint I've seen is people saying, you know, there's not enough stuff in there. I want more movies. Why isn't all the stuff in the U.S. marketplace in there, et cetera,
right.
et cetera.
Right.
And I remember everyone saying that last year. You guys don't have enough content. You don't have this studio. You don't have this movie. And you have to get it out there and kind of prove that people are interested. And over time, you get more studios willing to bring you their content.
I'm sure the business development team would have gladly said, you know what, we're not going to ship it until we have everything, because then it would have never shipped.
Right. And if you look at the video marketplace in the U.S. right now and the amount of content we have in there, and we're getting things, you know, up there pretty quick, like, you know, you can get Transformers up there. 300 was up there pretty early, things like that. And I think once people get used to the idea that, you know, hey, it's great, it's there, and studios have the ability to put their content up there, and we'd love to have them come do business with us, and more is going to come. This is not, you know, one shot and we're done. So
good point. So that's happening this week. What else we got going on this week? You want to talk about my trip to RIT?
Okay, sure.
So I went to RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. I went up there on...
is where?
That'd be Rochester, New York.
So is that upstate New York?
Yes, that is upstate New York. That is right on one of the Great Lakes.
Which one?
I want to say Erie.
What?
I want to say Lake Erie.
No, Erie bounds Pennsylvania. Erie's not up there by Rochester, too.
Oh, now you're going to make me go look, aren't you?
See, you were making fun of me. You're like, it's in New York. But you obviously don't know where it is.
Well, you're okay. So I go up to, I'll tell you in a minute as I go look for this thing. God, you're just pain in my necky.
Ha ha.
I'm pretty sure it's Lake Erie. So you go, hold on a second. I'm gonna zoom right in here.
This is scintillating radio.
Isn't this? It's Lake Ontario. I stand corrected. I'm sorry. It's Lake Ontario.
Okay.
So it's right up there. It's really far. It's upstate New York. It's in between Syracuse and Buffalo. Of course, I really enjoyed that. I went up there, and that was the reason I couldn't go to the Video Game Awards, because I had committed to this a while ago. It was a recruiting effort at Rochester Institute of Technology. I left Wednesday, arrived Wednesday night. You know, connections are connections, whatever. I ended up there, and it was a nice event. We did it on Thursday, and a lot of folks came by. They were looking for you. Some people asked for E. He was busy working.
He was here working. Sorry.
A lot of folks came by, and we played some Halo, and really it was about recruiting. We do a lot. Microsoft does a lot of college recruiting, and I was one of about 6 or 8 folks there from Microsoft. We had a whole bunch of tables set up, and people were crowded around my table asking questions about the 360 and the update, which is great. But we also had folks from Windows Mobile and the Windows team and a few others. So it's good there for 3 or 4 hours. We had some pizza, and I got to hang out with students, I love doing that. I do. I love hanging out, because these guys are great, and they have great questions, and some guy could just kick my ass in Halo.
Yeah, but you're not that good.
I actually am pretty good sometimes, and not with this guy.
So if they beat you, do they get a job?
No, that's not the way it works.
Oh, because that would be cool recruiting.
Right, right. Yeah, I'll recommend that to the college team. So I was up at RIT, left like 5 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning, because I had a meeting here in Seattle that afternoon, so traveled all across country. Yeah, again, air travel is air travel.
So you may have been a little late, or perhaps missed a connection?
There was a little bit of weather in Chicago, but they were late. But I didn't miss my connection.
Oh, okay.
Although I landed in Chicago at, like, gate B1, and then I had to go to, like, gate C2. And so I had to, like, go all the way down, up and right. It was just crazy.
And O'Hare is not a small airport.
No, not at all. So that's where I connected through. So RIT, I love going to the colleges, and it was just great to hang out with those guys. And Lots of snow. I kind of miss the snow, E.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was enjoyable last week when we had the one night of a lot of snow, and we were out having, you know, snowball fights and stuff in the street.
That's not snow. What I saw in Rochester, that was snow.
Now, I want that, you know, up on the mountain so I can go ski on it or something. I don't necessarily want it in my driveway.
Here's what I liked about it. When I went for a walk, when I was walking up to the campus from where when I parked the car, I looked around. It was almost like the kind of the earth becomes, it's like clothed. You know, the earth is naked otherwise, but that was clothed. And the other thing I noticed when it snows, because, you know, I'm such an audio guy, is it's almost like the entire earth is like acoustically dampened because it just, the audio is different. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
So normally the earth is naked, right. But when it snows, it is clothed and acoustically dampened.
Yes. I think people would agree with me.
Okay.
that was RIT.
I don't know what you did when you were back in college, yeah. But wow. Okay.
One thing I want to talk about is a few people have had a couple of emailed me a couple questions on this, is recovering your gamer tag. Some people have had some challenges recovering their gamer tag, and that's an option that's in the dashboard. I want to make sure people know that. Well, I'll let you do the discussion, E.
Well, the simplest thing to do if you want to play in a lot of places as you,
right.
Get a memory unit. It will make your life so much simpler.
Or just use your hard drive.
Yeah, I mean, that, if you're just going to play by yourself, that's great. But since you can only hook up, you know, one hard drive per console, that's a trouble right. If you're going over to a friend's house or whatever. But if you carry your MU with you and just plug your MU into your friend's console, it's so much less time consuming.
Yeah, the other thing is the MUs, not like the original Xbox, but the on the 360, you can hold more than one gamer tag on them.
Yes, I've got... I think 7 or 8 on mine.
7 gamer tags?
I have to test things sometimes. Jeez. I have a lot of gamer tags in different countries, gold, silver, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it's so simple, and I carry it around in my keychain, and that way if I'm at a friend's house and they're like, hey, let's play Guitar Hero, it's, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, pop in my gamer tag and away I go.
Yeah, so recover your gamer tag option, that really should not be used, you know, every day or every other day. It's not really recommended to do that.
And it's honestly kind of a pain. You got to, you know, type in your email and your password. You got to wait for the recovery to happen. There's a lot of data that's got to get moved around. And then you got to wonder, wait a minute, had I connected to live last time before I recovered, or am I going to, you know, lose an achievement because of this? Just carry around an MU.
Yeah. So that's kind of the, just carry around an MU and everything would be fine. So people think we're going to say this so that we want them to go buy MUs. That's what people are going to think. Well, that's not the reason we're telling you. We're just saying it because it's easier.
It makes your life much simpler.
Actually, someone was telling me in the engineering team that reading and writing to the MU is actually faster than the hard drive.
It's solid state. You don't have to move the head around the platter.
Right.
So, yeah, it is really fast. The thing I like is just, you know, not only do I have my gamer tags with me, I have all my save games.
Yeah.
Every save game I have, plus my gamer tags, all fit on a 512 mega.
Except I had to delete some BioShock ones, because, you know, you can save BioShock anywhere at any time.
I moved most of them to the hard drive instead of deleting them. But, yeah, at one point I think I had, like, 300 megs of BioShock saves.
You're like, what?
Yeah, and I hadn't paid attention to how big they were, and I was just saving and saving and saving. And then I looked at it, it's like, how's my 512 mega MU almost out of space? BioShock, 300 some megs. Oh.
Yep. So, speaking of BioShock, I was able to catch up with Ken Levine earlier this week, where he was telling us about the new downloadable content for BioShock. What do you say we get Ken in here to tell us about that? All right, it's no strange fact that I am a huge fan of BioShock, and joining me today is the man himself, Mr. Ken Levine. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Larry, how's it going?
It's going great. So you had some really cool stuff coming out for BioShock this week. You had a title update and some new free downloadable content, and I said I got to get Ken on the line to tell us what's going on. So what's going on, Ken?
Well, it's cool to be able to talk about it because, you know, I got asked about downloadable content forever, and I think we finally got our act together, and I thank the fans for being extremely patient with us, because obviously the game's been out for a few months. But I think we're, you know, trying to reward that patience with some cool stuff, and it's all free, which I want to point out right up front, and it's pretty cool, and I can go through it. I mean,
let's go through it. I mean, people are always excited about DLC. I know I tried to paint you in a corner when we when we talked last and you weren't having anything of it because you guys are still working on some stuff. So I'm thrilled to have you back on, and you made good on your promise to come back and talk about the what's coming out. Now, this is of it. I want to talk about, because it's obviously everyone knows this on the Xbox 360, but it's also on Games for Windows. So I want to talk about that. So go ahead, and why don't we go through the list here, and we can talk about each one of them.
Okay, well, you know, we're really trying to, give everybody the benefit on both platforms. So we can talk through, and I'll talk specifically what platform they're on, and if there's a different implementation on one platform or the other. I think I'm going to start actually with I think the one of the coolest things, which is, or should I say the coolest for last? What do you think, Larry?
Well, you know what? Let's go coolest for last. We'll do the build up.
Okay, so you know one of the things we're fixing in whether it's the patch or the title update, and I should make clear that there's two things on the 360. One is a title update, which is free, and you need to do that first, and that should happen through the normal process. And then there's also a marketplace, a free piece of downloadable content, and some of this stuff will be in the patch, and some of it will be in the title update, and some will be in the downloadable content, but they're both free, so there's no reason not to get both of them.
Sure, and it's pretty easy. You put your Xbox, you put your BioShock disk in, slides out from the right, say you want a title update, you say yes, and literally within like 40 seconds, based on your connection, you're done and you're back in the game.
That's right. The title updates are usually fairly small, and the downloadable content's larger, and but they're both free. There's no reason not to get both of them for anybody using Live. So to start with, you know, one of the critiques of the game was the Vita Chambers, the things that resurrected you automatically when you died. And you know, we have our own design feelings, and we're a fan of that feature, and we think it gives the play style we want the player to have. That was the intention. But, you know, again, I've always said that, hey, you pay $60 for the game, you should be able to play the game you want to play. So one of the first things we're doing is we're giving a option for both 360 and the PC to disable the Vita Chambers. So you can play the game just using, you know, saving as the methodology to continue your game if you get killed. And
right.
So that's right off the bat. Another item we took some concern, let's say, from the audience.
Ken, I have a question for you. So
yeah.
Talk to me about that one. So if I die, do I go all the way back to the beginning of the game, the beginning of the level? How does that work?
You go just back to the main menu, actually. So it's you know, pretty traditional. You get, if you get killed, you just head right back to the main menu. So people who want that challenge will have that challenge.
That's a heck of a challenge. So okay, tell us some more about what else is in the update and the downloadable content.
We had some people who were concerned about what they viewed as a limited field of view for widescreen users. So we have the ability to have, according to our programming team, to have to have fully support their widescreen monitors to whatever degree the widescreen supports, and uses that entire rendering space. So people were concerned about that. So our friends on the widescreen forums will hopefully be sending us Christmas cards this year instead of nasty pieces of coal.
They can either send you Christmas cards or large screen DLPs. You'll accept those, I'm sure.
Either or. So I think they'll be happy about that. Then I'm going to skip ahead and skip some of the really good stuff and move on. There's a new achievement which I don't know, it's a secret achievement, so I don't know if I should talk about it.
Okay.
But it's a nice 100-point achievement, which is...
It's a nice hefty one.
It's a hefty one, but it's tied into something else in this update, so that's all I'll say.
Okay.
That's all I'll say. There were some bug fixes, I'm not even sure worth going into, but you know, we've just been looking at the game and dealing with certain other bug fixes. There was a bug fix that actually cut some content on the PC,
okay.
Which cut the Human Inferno tonic out, and we fixed that, so that is in the game.
Okay, for
PCs, people.
For PC users, you'll get that.
Yep, man, it was already on the 360. You already had it on the 360. People, I think, as well, the PC users like this one. There's now a walk toggle on the keyboard, I think a keybind addition to toggle walking. Some people are really concerned about that, and we've addressed that. A bunch of other minor things, but the big thing of the free content is four new plasmid and tonic lines have been added. So you have a new active, two new versions of an active plasmid called Sonic Boom, which is similar, you know, to, and I hope Lucas various arts lawyers don't, you know, come after me here, but the, you know, the force push
right.
kind of vibe, where you're basically releasing a sonic boom and splicers fly back from this, you know, mental power you have, which is pretty cool. And I play with it a bunch and it's a lot of fun.
So are there just one level or is there a couple?
Cause there's one and two.
Okay,
so sonic boom one and two.
Okay.
And then we have a bunch of passive, tonics, which include Eve Saver, which reduces atom costs of the active plasmids. So if you use a lot of active plasmids, you want to install that one. And then there's Machine Buster 1 and 2, which lets you do extra damage to machine targets, like, you know, the bots or the big daddies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Vending Expert 1 and 2, which reduces circuits of value prices. But unfortunately for a lot of people, does not do anything about horrible, horrible Circus of Values clown voice, which you hear often in the game, which is actually me.
Oh, come on, I like that one. I want to get that guy to do voices for my podcast.
That's me, you know.
Oh, is that?
That's me, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm him. I'm the fortune teller, and I'm one of the three disciples of Sander Cohen.
Can you give me a little clown right now? Can you kick it? Or
let's see if I can get this right. Let's see. Welcome to the Circus of Values! That's it. See,
I love it.
I'm multi talented. Well, I'm at least single talented. I'm clown talented.
Yeah, you're clown talented. That's great. My wife does not
let me do that voice in the house. I'll
obviously,
say that.
It can scare some people.
Yeah, she does not like it.
So that's some really good stuff in there. So it's a pretty fun DLC. But you know, so this is great, and it's free, and it's available on the Xbox 360 and Games for Windows right now. But Ken, I got to ask you. You know, here we are after the launch. You and I talked before the launch, but I was just looking at Metacritic. This is the highest-rated game. Well, it's tied with Orange Box with a 96, but it is the highest-rated game on the Xbox 360. That's got to feel really good going into the holiday.
Yeah. I mean, certainly that is – when you work on a game, you can't even think of, like, you know, things like that, because it's so – I mean, the games that have come out, you know, whether it's Oblivion or Gears or the Orange Box, you know, to be in the company, even just to be in the company of those kind of games is really an honor that, you know, you can't even think about when you're making a game. But it's extremely gratifying for us, and you know, we liked working on the platform, and it's our first console game too, and I think that was a big thing for us. We always were wondering, can we do this, you know, can we make that transition, you know, console game that was even on the console. And you know, we hope that the PC fans felt it was a, you know, that the PC version supported things that make that platform great, but we were just worried that we could make a game that would work well on a platform like the 360. And you know, to not only have it work, but have it, you know, achieve those kind of scores is extremely gratifying for the team.
I mean, I think what I just want to put a fine point on it here. You're higher ranked than Halo 3.
Yes, not higher selling, but higher ranked. But
we
ain't complaining about the sales either, because that's going really gangbusters too. So you know, it's so gratifying for the team, because I can't tell you, I think we talked about this, you know, just how much work these games are to make and how much of your life you have to give up. And we asked so much of the guys and you know, and the girls, and they delivered, and you know, it's very gratifying that you know, all that work turned out to be, you know, to pay back in spades for them.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And I, you know, I'm on behalf of the community, I want to thank you and your team for putting out, you know, free downloadable content, because everyone didn't know. They knew there was an extra spot for the achievement in there, which you talked a little bit about earlier. People are going to have to figure it out by themselves what it is. But I want to thank you, because you know, it's tremendous replayability in that game, and I know people are going to go back. I actually played it twice. That is, I think, the first game ever on the Xbox 360 that I've gone back and gone through twice, because I wanted to both harvest and save the little sisters. And so I want to thank you for that on behalf of the community.
Well, hopefully we can get you in there for at least a few minutes more to play with the new plasmids and check it out. And I think for people who played it once or, you know, maybe even twice, there's, you know, there's some new experiences there. Definitely, you know, there were a bunch of bugs at launch that got fixed. One, we had a really heartbreaking one with the twitching bodies when they die, because the guys did such a beautiful job with the ragdoll physics, and it, you know, we somehow that bug got crept back into code and we missed it, and that's been fixed along the way. And I just think it's, you know, the nice thing about having Live is, you know, you can polish the product even further after launch. And, you know, it was a very polished game, but, you know, now I think it's sort of the idealized version of what we of itself. And you know, it's a great system to be able to do that.
Now, this may be the game of the year. That's got to feel pretty good that you're even in the contending for that. I'm voting for it.
Well, you know, it's all at this point, I think that we've exceeded our expectations, you know, so much and all, so everything. We appreciate all the, you know, the honorifics that get put on it. But, you know, it's such an incredibly amazing year for games. I mean, you've got Orange Box, and you've got Mass Effect, and you've got, you know, Assassin's Creed, and you've got Call of Duty, and all these games that, you know, on their own were all certainly, you know, things you would consider Game of the Year contenders in any year. That just, there's so many this year that just even be considered, you know, one of those is amazing. And, you know, we came out a little earlier, and we didn't have things like multiplayer to, you know, to sort of to reach a certain part of the audience. You really want to focus on single player. So, you know, it's really gratifying just to be included among that group.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So listen, Ken, I'm going to let you go, but when are we going to hear from you again? I mean, I know you're not talking about your next project, but hopefully we can hear something soon.
I don't know how soon. You know, that's sort of out of my pay grade,
right.
But I think, you know, it's something that, you know, I think your listeners will be interested in. And we'll just have to, you know, bide our time until we get to that place. I think, you know, right now they can know that we're working hard on making cool stuff. That's about what I can say.
Yeah, I'm sure that after, like I say, after BioShock, you know, you have such a resume. You and I were talking about, you know, our majors in college a moment ago off the air, and you know, you've got such a bio, you know, a bio here, and you've got such a track record. So I'm sure the fans are going to be chomping at the bit and, you know, ready for whatever you do come out with.
I think they'll be happy to know that, you know, I'm here, and the core creative team of BioShock is with me here in Boston, and we're just jamming away.
Cool. All right, listen, Ken, I'm going to let you go. Thanks so much, and I'd love to have you on anytime you want to come on to do the Circus of Values voice or just to talk. you're welcome to be here, my friend.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Ken. Thanks for coming on. I know you were busy getting ready for the Video Game Awards and whatnot, but come on, Eve. Maybe you can finish BioShock now.
New gene tonics and plasmids, that might be just what I need. Or if, like, all I need is half a day. Just half a day where I'm not supposed to be doing something else.
So if you want E to finish BioShock, send him a message. His gamertag is E.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. But there's also a secret achievement in there that he wouldn't tell me about.
A secret achievement with the DLC?
Yep.
Ooh, that's interesting.
So that's in there, as you heard in the interview. So
yeah.
So thank you, Ken. It's always good to have Ken on the show. Good friends of the show. The next person I have up is Jeff Keighley. Jeff and I recorded this interview on Saturday between, as I said earlier in the show, between the time that the Spike TV Awards were recorded in Las Vegas, and then they have to edit them and then do whatever they're going to do and then air them on Sunday night. So
you have to edit them before you can air them. So kind of like. See, I was just thinking the last time I saw Jeff was at the WCG Grand Finals.
Right.
Which was when I took video of you playing Rock Band.
Oh, Jesus.
That I'm still getting messages about not having posted.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for you to edit it.
Let's see, I'm the editor. So, and no, he is not going to send it to somebody in the community to edit. Because I know that's
no.
What people think you're going to do. So Jeff was able to jump on the phone with me. He was busy down at Vegas. You and I have been to Vegas. Fifth annual VGAs were Friday night in Las Vegas. They're airing on Sunday, and then about a billion times more on Spike TV. And on with me is the poster boy of Spike TV, Mr. Jeff Keighley. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show again.
Thanks for inviting me, Major. We missed you last night.
I had talked about that on previous shows. You and the team out there had invited me to come out and cover the VGAs, but I had some previous engagements up in Rochester, lovely Rochester. I wasn't able to make it, but I'm excited to, you know, you and I are recording this the day after the awards, but the day before they air, so it's kind of this weird in-between period, right?
It's just been one long night, Major, partying and celebrating all the winners, but no, it was a fun night last night. We had a great show. And coming up, I guess you'll post this on Sunday, so it'll be coming up tonight on Spike TV.
Yeah, so let's back up a little bit and talk about it. So it's the 5th Annual Video Game Awards on Spike TV. They were I want you to kind of walk us through where it was held. Give us the high-level details, and then we got to get into the behind-the-scenes.
I'm sort of becoming the correspondent for Major Nelson.
You absolutely are. Jeff Keighley is the man on the street in Las Vegas right now.
Major, I'm here in Las Vegas. The 5th Annual VGAs just wrapped up, hosted by Samuel L. Jackson. It's his third year hosting the show. Mm-hmm. It was a great show. Music's a big part of an award show. We had Foo Fighters, which, you know, one of my favorite bands, did a great job. They played two songs, played The Pretender off their new album, and then they also did Learn to Fly, which was a tie-in to Rock Band. And it was very cool because as they performed Learn to Fly, they had Rock Band gameplay up behind them.
Right.
So you actually see the band, and then it was Rock Band gameplay on Experts. You see the band actually kind of playing along to Rock Band, so that was very cool. Kid Rock performed a medley of his hits. He was there. And then we had, you know, typical things with, big celebrities. We had Rachel Bilson and Kristen Bell from Heroes. We had some cool people, too. We had Steve Wiebe, the guy who's, from King of Kong. He was there.
Sure, he's actually local here in Seattle. He's actually in...
That's right. Yeah, he worked for Boeing or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he does. And I've been trying to find him to get him on the show a million times, but believe it or not, I can find anybody in the world, but I can't find a guy in my own backyard.
Well, the funny thing was, I was in the green room with him, so I did some stuff with him, and he was sort of a cult hero to a lot of people that were in the green room, like Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons.
Right.
He was there accepting an award for Simpsons as Best Movie TV Game. And him and all the writers from The Simpsons, they were in a trance once they saw this guy and just stood there in awe of Steve Wiebe.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, as you and I have talked about, you know, we've seen the movie. A lot of the people have seen The King of Kong. He's such a hero in that in that movie for a lot of reasons. So it's I can't imagine why. Plus, the writers, frankly, they have nothing else to do, so they're just sitting around.
Yeah, they were walking around with their Writers Guild of America shirts. So that was one of the challenges this year, is with the writer's strike, everything that was going on. There were no quote-unquote writers on the show this year. Because, you know, they can't write the show. So I think Spike and the executives, Casey Patterson and Albie Heck, who, created the Video Game Awards, did a great job this year and, you know, getting good talent. And I think the thing I haven't talked about, which I think is a really big deal, is that there were, I think, 8 or 9 world premieres of trailers. And that's something that we do on Gamehead every week on Spike.
Right.
You know, gamers love to see hot new gameplay, the latest stuff that's out there. So this year we had... What do we have? We had Red vs. Blue gave us a little exclusive on the Halo 3 map packs, which I think come out tomorrow, Monday.
Right, they come out this week on the 11th. There'll be 800 points on Marketplace. Plug, plug, plug. Well, not that I
know. All right.
I don't care. I had the list in front of me. I've got Borderlands from 2K.
Right.
Gran Turismo. Let's see. Of course, that. So did
Little Big Planet, which is really good.
Yep, Little Big Planet. Tom Clint. Rainbow Six Vegas 2, which is great. How'd that look?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know how it looked. It was live action video, so it was sort of this like intro piece, theme piece for it. So we didn't see a lot of the gameplay, which I think people might be a little disappointed with. I'll be honest with that. But there's that. Little Big Planet actually looked very cool because they showed in this game world premiere of the trailer where it's actually vehicles in the game, which people don't know. So you can actually build like pirate ships for the guys. So that was kind of a cool reveal.
That's neat.
Yeah, so there's that. There was Iron Man. Stanley introduced that, which was the first look at the gameplay from that. Mm-hmm. So it was all in engine. Robert Downey Jr. sort of narrates this trailer, which I thought was a pretty good trailer. What else do we have, Major? You have the list. You know more than that.
TNA Impact from Midway.
Yes.
I'm just looking at the whole list of stars. You kind of went through some of them. You know, you had the Foo Fighters. Wait a minute. Was Don King there?
Don King
is actually so when you watch the show, I gotta say Don King probably has the funniest banter of the show.
Really?
If he takes all these old, you know, video games like Frogger, and he turns them into sort of these fights. So it's like Frogger is like the belligerent Toad versus the terrifying Road, and he has like all these game maxims he sort of goes through, and he turns them into sort of these great, you know, Rumble in the Jungle type of fight phrases. So he was actually cool, and yeah, he was there because I guess 2K announced they're doing a boxing game called Don King's Prize Fighter, which comes out in April for 360.
So is it going to come with a way for you to kind of tease your hair up really high to bring the whole Don King thing right to the experience?
I I wondered if the hair was still going to be like, and, you know, I don't know how old Don King is. I mean, he's a really sweet guy, but the hair was there, and he had two lovely ladies on his arm. So Don King is living large.
So we got the stars, we got all that stuff going through. Let's go through the list of winners, because that's what people are really excited about. Because I was on Evil Avatar's podcast last week, and I actually predicted a few of these, so I'm really excited to see that my predictions were come true. But do you have the list in front of you? You want me to just kind of read it off, and we'll go through it?
I don't. I can give you, I mean, what's interesting about the show is I think we maybe do 8 categories on air, and then there are a ton of categories that are announced kind of in the bumpers throughout the show. But, I mean, the big battle was Game of the Year, and, you know, for Xbox 360 owners, it was kind of nirvana, because you had 4 360 games nominated. So it was Orange Box, it was Halo 3, it was Mass Effect, and BioShock.
Right.
So the best 360 games of the year. So BioShock won it out. You'll see that in the show. Although, what actually happened during the taping, I don't know if this is going to be in the show, but I'll give people in Major Nelson a little scoop. The guys from Gamecock, you know them, right?
Yep.
Game publisher Gamecock, they rushed the stage in their rooster outfits or whatever. As BioShock was supposed to accept, and they rushed the stage, and there was a little bit of a moment there where they had to be removed. Yes.
Well, did they like mow down Ken Levine, and he was making his way to the podium?
Yeah, no, I felt a little bad for Ken because he was up there, and he didn't know what the hell was going on. And then they had these, you know, Gamecock yahoos that rushed the stage. So we'll see if it actually makes the show. But anyway, so BioShock 1, they had a guy in a Big Daddy costume.
Right.
Which is actually really, really good.
Do you think it was the guy from YouTube who dressed up as the Big Daddy for Halloween?
I saw that with him and his little daughter. Yeah. That was good.
Somebody told me that's not his daughter. That was like may have been his son dressed up as a daughter, which is even more disturbing.
Shut up. Really?
Yes.
All right, well, yeah, so there was the Big Daddy that came up, BioShock 1, which I thought was actually, that was my pick, I think, so far out
that
of those games.
That was mine as well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was the game that was sort of most surprising to me, most innovative. But then, you know, Halo won the most addictive award that was a fan-voted award. As we mentioned, The Simpsons game won best movie or TV show game. I'm trying to point out.
Let me go through the list because I got it in front of me. So I got Game of the Year, BioShock. I actually just was exchanging emails with Ken Levine. I sent him a nice congratulations, and he's up already because he sent me a nice response. Let's see, Studio of the Year, Harmonix.
Yes, that's right. Harmonix and Rock Band won, I think, best rhythm game and best soundtrack. So Clean Guitar Hero's Clock.
Good for them. Let's see, best shooter, Call of Duty 4.
That's right. They actually got to accept on stage. Grant Collier and Jason West were here, and they were telling me off the record. They were telling me some of the sales figures for Call of Duty, and it sounds like this game is going to be posting some very big numbers when the NPD sales figures come out this week.
Oh, it should. I mean, it should. I mean, I finished it a couple weeks ago. You finished it as well, right?
Oh yeah.
And
that game is just so, you know, it's short, but it's always this argument I have with people about, like, you know, should games be longer or shorter? And I loved Call of Duty because it was short, it was intense, and it was exactly what you wanted. And you could play through it in a couple of weeks, and, you know, I get so many games, there's so much to play, it's so hard to finish all these games.
Mm-hmm.
And Call of Duty, you play through it, and it's just, no, I mean, that's the game I put in now when friends come over to say, like, hey, here's what the Xbox 360 can do.
Right.
It just looks so phenomenal. So, yeah, that game is, I think, going to sell like crazy. That was best shooter. That's correct. And what else do we got? We had best Wii game, I know, was Super Mario Galaxy.
I'm working my way down the list. We got best RPG, Mass Effect. Now, have you played Mass Effect?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and Mass Effect, Casey Hudson, the project director, was here.
Yep.
Huge BioWare contingent. I think there were like 15 guys from BioWare.
Good for them. Yeah, I spent some, as you and I talked about a few weeks ago, I spent some time up there with them right before the launch. And great game. And I'm going to give a little bit of a spoiler right now. So if you have not played the game, please, I urge you to fast forward about 30 seconds.
Play as a girl or a guy, Major?
Well, I'm playing as a guy, but let me tell you what happened, Jeff, is my favorite character in the game is Rex. I love Rex, and I was using him on all my missions. Again, spoiler alert, fast forward about 30 seconds. But I'm so despondent because Rex died.
I know.
And I didn't. I'm like I can't even go back to play the game. I'm so emotionally strung out over this right now.
That's where they do such a great job in that game, and, you know, because of the Rex relationship. And I mean, there's, you know, he doesn't. What's interesting about Rex is I think, you know, there are a couple ways to play it. So, you know, he died for me too, but I believe there's a way where he'll like leave your party and he'll just sort of, you know, not agree with your decisions. And
there's a couple of ways, and I went back to a couple save points and tried to pick it up and steer the conversation in a different direction. But I don't think I had enough. I didn't have enough. My level wasn't high enough in the negotiation department. So Mass Effect, best RPG. I mean, you have to agree with that.
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely. I mean the scope of that thing is phenomenal. That's why again, what's you know, you're emotionally invested in these characters. Even that moment early on in the game, when you're in one of the like quarters there. And you're just like, you know, you literally can decide whether you pop off a guy or not. And it's, I forget what it is, it's like really early on. That was the first moment to me where I was like, wow. It's like, because you say something, you know, in a lot of games you go to the dialogue tree and say like, you know, screw you, we're done with you. And right. It's like, you know, it's sort of four shades of gray. It's the same thing,
right.
No matter what choice you pick. And this one, you pick that and you literally like take up the gun and shoot the guy. And it's just amazing to me to see the branching paths of this game. As you said, like when Rex dies, you load all these save points. Like, is there a way to save him? I don't think there's a way you can like save Rex and he survives through the whole game.
Yeah,
but maybe there is.
Yeah, I talked about this with Drew, the lead writer, when I was up at BioWare about how it must be fascinating because it's not like writing a book or a screenplay where it's a very linear. I mean, there are characters that he's writing that I may never discover that you discover and vice versa. So it's a very rich atmosphere. So best RPG, Mass Effect. I want to talk about the next category, best military game. What an odd category that is.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm all for that, but it's just like best military game. That's an odd. Isn't that kind of shooters? But Call of Duty 4, you know, grab that again. It's just I just find that a strange category.
Come on, what were the nominees in that? Call of Duty versus what? Medal of Honor?
I just have the winner list in front of me. I'm gonna have to go pick that up. So you're right. There were some of the Medal of Honor and so forth. So I mean, I don't even know. Was Halo in there as best military game? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Next up, which is in its freshman year, best individual sports game, Skate grabs it.
Yeah, that was a little controversial because I was in the elevator with Tony Hawk, and I sort of knew in advance that Skate was probably going to take it from him, and he's come to every VGAs for 5 years, and I think Skate's a better game,
right.
And I think they're both solid games, but I think Tony Hawk the franchise has kind of atrophied a little bit over the years, and Skate is new and fresh, and I think is really kind of next gen. So yeah, Danny Way was there, and that was great to see because individual sports, that's kind of a category which Tony Hawk was always sort of the shoe-in to win because there are not that many individual sports games.
Sure.
So now I think there was a little bit of a rivalry there and a bit of a controversy between those two. And there's a moment actually. On stage, someone told me that one of the Danny Way guys from Skate actually says, this award's CEO of Neversoft, he said they were going to kick our ass or something like that. Neversoft's the developer, Tony Hawk. So I guess they're stirring the controversy pot a little bit there. But I think it's a great game. And I mean, I hope Tony, if anything, hopefully Skate's success will cause Tony Hawk to really kind of reinvest resources
right. And
make a better game next year. So rivalries, that's what makes better games sometimes.
Makes better everything. Best handheld game, Legend of Zelda, Phantom Hourglass. I have to agree with that.
Yep.
Best graphics, Crysis from EA and Crytek.
Absolutely. Great game on PC only, right? Games for Windows, give a little plug for Vista, right?
Yep, exactly. Crysis on that. Best game based on movie, you talked about that a little earlier, Simpsons game with just phenomenal writing. I mean, just great comedy in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great game. I think, really well-written, great voiceovers. I mean, I wish the gameplay was a little bit better. It's so hard when you do these movie games, and it's sort of like the writing's so great, but you got to get the gameplay really nailed. But I mean, the idea of the parodies and Grand Theft Scratchy and all that stuff was really well done. So, yeah, you said one of the best-written games of the year by far.
Which I'm surprised we don't see a category for that, best writing, because that's such a part. You know, we got best graphics, but people really, for my mind, people really underplay writing and then, of course, audio. There is a category later on down for best soundtrack. But, I mean, writing and audio are two pieces of the puzzle, which I think really fit in nicely.
Another category I think we need is best game blog. We've talked about it before, but
it? Yes, we have. We'll talk about improvements to this once we finish going down the list. So
okay.
I've got, now, best rhythm game. I mean, come on. How many are there? There's like there's not that many.
Right, because we got Guitar Hero, Rock Band. What else was in there? Do we know? Oh, we don't know what.
Rock Band was the winner.
Rock Band won, I agree, yes.
Rock Band, best driving game, Dirt, which for my mind also has the greatest UI, the user interfaces, you're going in and out of all those menus.
Brilliant. Yeah, the menu system is phenomenal in that game.
The game itself is also a ton of fun. Best action game, Super Mario Galaxy. You're going to give it a thumbs up to that, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know if you played it, but it's that's a game that I was a little skeptical on, the sort of spherical world. And, you know, Mario, like, I was not a fan of Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube or Super Mario Sunshine. I thought it was kind of gimmicky. So I was skeptical on this leading into playing it. But I got to say, I mean, it's a ton of fun. And I find myself every night kind of going back to it, trying to get one more star and get one more star here or there. And I'm actually surprised that that game wasn't nominated for Game of the Year.
Yeah, I need to actually pick it up. I got the Wii in my office here, and I'm going to definitely give that a spin.
It's, yeah, best Wii game by far. So it's, and I think that won best Wii game as well, right?
Oh, can I continue on? Yes, it did. So you're getting ahead of myself here, Jeff. Let's one at a time.
Best
team sports game, Madden NFL 08. That monster franchise just keeps going.
Yeah, and that was actually a very poignant moment. We had Matt Leinart and Chris Erb except, and I don't know how he, I think it was reported a little bit, but Chris Erb had an accident after the launch party in Madden NFL in New York City was hit by a car, actually.
Yeah.
And was in a pretty critical condition for quite a while in the hospital. We were really worried about how he was going to do, but this is like a miracle. I mean, he just had an amazing recovery, and this was back in August this happened. And he was up on stage. He looks like his old self. He's one of my favorite guys in the gaming business, just a real forward thinker.
Right.
And they brought him out from Orlando with his wife, Julie, and he was on stage. And it was really special, I think, for everyone in the industry to see this guy up on stage accepting an award.
That's fantastic. That's great. Best soundtrack, Rock Band?
Yes, exactly.
You're going to agree with that, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rock Band and Guitar Hero both had, you know, great soundtracks. And, yeah, I mean, I think I prefer Rock Band soundtrack a little bit, and then, you know, certainly all the downloadable content. I mean, I'm following the MTV Games guys last night. I was just really amazed by, you know, the to see downloadable content every week for Rock Band. I mean, on your website, it's like every Tuesday now, there's like, you know, four or five Rock Band things.
Yeah, I mean, I check it out. I log in Monday night before I go to bed, and I look and see what's available, because sometimes I don't know until it's like then. I'm like, wow, this is great. These guys keep pumping it out. So good luck. Good for them, and they're apparently selling well, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next one, Breakthrough Technology. The Orange Box / Portal. You and I have discussed it. Portal, great game. Is Breakthrough Technology, is this something that's in the game? I mean, I'm curious about this category.
Yeah, I think it's sort of something that, you know, it can be gameplay. I think in past years, console systems have, you know, won and been nominated. So I'm sure 360, when it came out, it won. I think in a year like this, which is an off year for new console introductions, like, it turns into sort of, you know, gameplay innovation, you know, technical sort of proficiency in games. So Portal, I think, really, you know, the use of portals and that technology is not trivial to be able to get that to work in a game. So I think that I'm glad the Portal got some love, because I think, like, Portal as a standalone game,
phenomenal.
Really, yeah, it could have been nominated for Game of the Year, and I mean, that's why Orange Box is in there. It's not for Half-Life 2, which is still great and plays well, or Team Fortress 2. Portal is really the crown jewel of that suite of games. So yeah, I think that was, you know, to me, I think what happened there was, I think the judges said, hey, we got to give Portal some love somewhere, and this is where we're going to do it.
Now, I wasn't there, and I haven't seen the show yet because it hasn't aired, but did they at least bring the award out as a cake?
No, you want to know how they presented the awards?
Tell me.
What's your guess? Wait, they didn't use envelopes this year.
They didn't use envelopes. Jeez, I don't. Did they use like the plastic DVD holder like that a game comes in?
No, much better than that, Major. They had models, nude models that were body painted with the names of the winners. So you had for the Simpsons game. A girl would walk out on stage, and she'd have the Simpsons.
Hold on, Jeff. I think that's Jack Thompson on the other line calling to complain.
It's pretty wild. You see, you know, for best studio, like Harmonix, she had like Harmonix painted all over her chest, and it's So these were trophy girls with full decked out body paint. Actually, there's a great moment at the end of the show where Samuel L. Jackson is there, and all the girls come out for all the winners, and they're probably, you know, 10 to 12 girls all painted with different game logos and whatnot.
So I need to So I have to ask you a question here because I'm sorry, you totally derailed me. So that's another reason to watch this. Like I said, it's going to be repeated, I'm sure, a million times on Spike.
Yes, I probably should have mentioned that up top. But you always get to the good stuff, Major. You keep digging and digging, and then you find out the real scoop. But yeah, it was. I opened the show with me and Tila Tequila do a little bit with one of the trophy girls, sort of revealing the fact that yes, we have no envelopes. Body paint.
Now I have to ask you this because this is actually a running joke that you and I have had for since Orlando, and you know where I'm going with this.
I know, and I get a positive response for you.
And a lot of people don't know this. In fact, no one knows this because you and I have been going back in emails on this. But when we did the event in Orlando back in August, when we did the World Cyber Games here in Seattle in October, you and I, when we go on stage, all we want is one thing. And what is that thing, Jeff?
We want a little pyro.
We want some pyro. We want some explosives. We want some fireworks. Did you get your pyro last night?
We did. I didn't get pyro when I came out. But that's the thing is because, you know, people at the World Cyber Games in Seattle, there was pyro. And you and I were backstage. We made a request to the pyro guy. We said, when we walk out, we just like a quick pyro hit when they announced Major Nelson and Jeff Keighley.
Right.
The guy's like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's not authorized. And, you know, you have to go through this and that. But yeah, last night, no, we opened the show with, we opened and closed the show with pyro. So we have these parkour runners, like free running, sort of like in Assassin's Creed. These guys open the show. They bring this Vector Monkey, which is our award to Samuel L. Jackson. So they come on out, and Sam Jackson, it's actually cool because the stage is sort of set up like an old arcade machine.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Jackson says, we're ready to start the show, and he jumps on the sort of giant A button, and the pyro goes off. And then at the end of the show, there's another big pyro hit at the end. So, yes, we've got pyro, but sadly for my introduction, the announcer announces me, and there is no pyro. I'm stuck in the green room.
So you and I will continue our quest for pyro.
Major, if we can get you to come to the show next year, I'm sure I can put in the request of the executive producers that you walk out to pyro.
Well, right now, I'm blocking off all of December. I'm not going anywhere in December of 08 because I am going to be there with you. And I don't want to be out on the red carpet, Jeff. I want to be backstage in the green room with you. I want to be on the stage. I want to be in the audience. I want to have some fun here.
We were going to hook you up. We could have got you exclusive interviews with, you know, all these celebrities. '08's going to be the year, Major, and we'll put it in your rider for a pyro hit.
Okay, so let's keep moving here. So we did Best Soundtrack, Breakthrough Technology, Portal, Best Xbox 360 Game, BioShock. We talked about that a little bit earlier. I mean, I haven't talked to the guys at Bungie. They must be a little surprised.
Yeah, I talked to Frank O'Connor and Harold Ryan. They were here last night. Yeah, I think the thing with Halo is it was just so hyped and, you know, got so much attention on the front end. Yeah, I think they get a little discounted. But, you know, look now, I mean, you know, the fact that Halo came out end of September, I mean, there's so many other great games to come out since then. I think people sort of, I don't talk to a lot of people about Halo anymore.
Yeah, well, it's just, you talked about, you know, coming out in September. That seems like, you know, eons ago, and it was only two, 3 months ago.
That's the thing is, yeah, I remember we were in New York, you know, for Halo launch. And yeah, it literally feels like that was 6 to 9 months ago, yet it was, as you said, 2 months ago. But, yeah, so I think that's the thing is, like, it sort of worked against them a little bit for these awards. And it's like, it was so overhyped, and something like BioShock, I think, was, you know, a little under the radar. And people just, you know, absolutely loved it. So, you know, Halo, I've said publicly, I think, you know, what they did with Forge and the multiplayer and the single-player call-up was great, but, I mean, the raw single-player game I thought was a great Halo game, but it wasn't particularly innovative.
Right.
And I think then, you know, when people look to these awards, I mean, look at the Oscars. I mean, you know, never sort of the number one, you know, box office movie.
The blockbuster.
Picture. Yeah, and, I mean, that doesn't normally happen. So I think, you know, I'm sure they would love to win all these awards, but I think, you know, it's been a great year for games. That's what Frank was saying to me last night. I mean, there's just, you know, so many great games that those guys respect, too,
right,
across the board. So, I mean, the real, you know, winner here is, I think, Xbox, too, because, I mean, you guys have had so many phenomenal games this year, you know, across all the systems. And, yeah, I think Halo's big, but, you know, Mass Effect, I hear, is selling really well. Call of Duty is selling really well. So I can't wait until this Thursday when the sales figures come out for November to sort of see in the console war, like, how the different systems are doing and, you know, what game is, like, the number one game for November.
Yeah.
Super Mario Galaxy, they're saying that's selling well, and it's going to be big.
So we've got, moving right, speaking of that, Best Wii game, you talked about that earlier, Super Mario Galaxy. I think we can all agree on that, even though I haven't had my hands on my controller with my Wii in a few months. I need to do that. Best PS3 game, Ratchet & Clank Future, Tools of Destruction.
question. Yes.
I sent a nice congratulation note to James down at Insomniacs. Yeah. They did a nice job with
I was hanging with James last night. We actually talked about you and your crossovers with the podcast and whatnot, and you being on the Insomniac Full Moon show.
No, I think those guys are great. I think they do wonderful games. I love their podcast. They do great work over there, and I'm such fans of them. We need to get them on this platform, is what I told them.
Well, maybe you can broker that. Look at you. You're like sending out congratulation emails on Saturday morning. I'm just kind of like rolling out of bed, and here's Major, you know, working the internet.
I went through the whole list and sent everybody I knew. I sent a nice little congratulations note off to them. Yeah, it's what I do. I mean, it's the way for me to be involved, even though I couldn't be there like you are. So let's.
You're a politician, Major.
Let's keep going. Best PC game, Orange Box. You okay with that one?
I'm good with that, yeah.
Good one. Best original score, BioShock. Now, this one was a little surprising. A lot of people thought it should have been Halo 3.
That's a good point. I did not see Marty O'Donnell here last night, so I guess maybe he knew he was going to get snubbed. But, I think there were a lot of, you know, great scores this year. I mean, Halo probably would have got the award for my money. I thought Marty did just a phenomenal job, and Mike Salvatore and the guys that wrote that. So I agree that's a bit of an upset, and I think I voted for Halo.
Yep. So the we're coming towards the end here. Best multiplayer game, Halo 3. No one can deny that. Now here comes a controversial and final category is the most addictive video game fueled by Doom. What is up with that?
It's the most addictive game. What do you mean?
But fueled by Doom? What does that mean?
Hey, you know, it's sponsors and integration. You know how it works, Major. So, it's TV network trying to, we got to pay for the pyro somehow, right?
That's a good point. You must do that. So let's talk about. So we hear all the winners. Congratulations to all the winners. I mean, as you and I have been talking about, and everybody's been talking about for the past 6 or 8 months, you know, this was truly the most fantastic holiday season ever for video games in terms of quality and so forth, quality and quantity. Tell us how the voting takes place.
Well, voting actually changed this year. This year, there's a group of journalists and advisory council, which I'm on, and guys from many of the blogs, Kotaku, Destructoid, Joystick, GameSpot, IGN, most of the print magazines.
I would
EGM.
Like to point out that I am not on that board. Not that I'm asking to be, but I just people ask me.
I am
not on that board.
Question. You see, Major, should you be on those panels, or are you? And I know you're sort of you're not biased, but do you think people would really think that you'd be completely impartial in your voting?
Probably not. I mean, here you look at my ID and my paycheck, and at the top it says Microsoft. So obviously, right there, people think I'm just fanboy number one here at Microsoft. So I'm not saying I should be. I'm just merely pointing out. Some people have asked me, and I want to be clear: is that I'm not on the voting body at this time.
Yeah, but it's like I think around 30 judges. So we get a ballot, we fill out our nominees, and then we get a winner ballot to sort of select who we think should. We get one ballot and we just vote once, and then they sort of determine the winners off of that. And that voting process took place in, early November, I think. So we fill out our forms and all the advisory councils here. And in past years, the public has voted on all the awards. Mm-hmm. This year, the judges selected the winners except for the most addictive fueled by Doom category, which was a user-voted category on the Internet. So, it's all about the advisory council of judges, which is similar in makeup to the Game Critics Awards, which... I run with Rob Smith from Official PlayStation Magazine that we've been doing for about 10 years at E3. So many of the similar judges, and the big surprise under the judging body that was here was Jeff Gertzman from GameSpot. If people have read the Internet, I'm sure they've heard about the controversy around his situation. But he was here in Vegas because he said he wasn't going to be able to come, but, he seemed to have a little extra time on his hands, so...
You want to talk about that for a second? What's your opinion of what's going on there? Because, I mean, people have asked me, but, you and I have not talked for a few weeks, and this one blew up on the Internet. In fact, I sent you an email, and I'm like, dude, what's going on with this? And I don't think you responded, so I'm going to make you respond.
I think I didn't really know what was going on. The thing is, it's, I think reviews of games, I mean, it's a really interesting subject, just talking about how games are reviewed. And, games are unlike any other type of entertainment, with the scrutiny that's placed on these scores. And, it's very technical how people see reviewing a game. It's not, it's not like a thumbs up or thumbs down. If you've been reading game reviews, like on GameSpot, the difference between an 8.3 and an 8.5, that, really means something to people. Right. I mean, you never see a movie review where it's like, I gave Gone Baby Gone a 7.6 out of 10. And, it's not that precise. But for game reviewing, you know, the scores are scrutinized, and there's sites like Metacritic and Game Rankings where, you know, people's bonuses and their success in their careers is tied to the review scores, because there's really a view in the game industry that, you know, quality is what sells in games. And, you know, you can't just have a game that's a 6 out of 10 that's really going to sell millions of copies. So these game review scores are incredibly important, and, you know, as people
read
on the internet...
Are they too important, Jeff?
Well, I don't know if they're too important. I think definitely reviews are important. I think sometimes what happens is that these scores, they get so scrutinized, and every little part of a score is what matters. I mean, to me, it's like, is a game good or is it not good?
Right.
And I think, what, you know, the reason these game sites have these little, you know, tenth of a point scales and everything is like this idea of this rivalries from different games. Like, is, you know, people want to know, is BioShock better than Halo?
Right.
They're both great games, but which game is better? And I guess, you know, if one gets a 9.4 and one gets a 9.2, you know, which game is better? But I think, you know, the problem is that, you know, with Kane and Lynch, which was this, as people have read on the internet, Jeff Gerstmann reviewed this game. He gave it 6 out of 10. It was a pretty scathing review. Talked about how the game was just an ugly game. And, you know,
well,
IDOS...
It was the video review that really was pretty rough.
Exactly, and that was rough, and the text of his review was rough, too. And IDOS called up and, I guess, complained to GameSpot about the review, which is something that, you know, I don't know how much gamers know, but the thing is with the game industry right now, you know, a lot of these game magazines and game websites, they're mostly supported by advertising from the game companies. And Guy Kroll on his blog at Newsweek wrote a great story this week about just talking about this sort of incestuous relationship that exists between game companies and game critics. And so what happened was IDOS called up GameSpot, and I'm not 100% sure on the facts, but it sounds like they said, you know, we're really unhappy with this review. We're going to cancel some advertising of $400,000 or $500,000 that we're going to do on the site because we're upset with this review. And that's, you know, being a journalist for so many years, I've seen that happen many times where game companies will think they have the power to change editorial at a publication by, you know, threatening to pull advertising. And, you know, it's amazing because years ago at GameSpot, I remember a story, one former employee told me that the advertising and marketing people at GameSpot, their phones were actually blocked from calling the editors
right
at their desk because, you know, there's this church and state separation that's supposed to exist between marketing and advertising and editorial.
Which is precisely the way it works in America. Mm-hmm. Usually.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. But it sounds like, you know, the lines were a little bit blurred here at GameSpot. And IDOS called up and complained, and then the review changed. And, you know, it wasn't very well handled because Jeff Gerstmann was, you know, fired from GameSpot. And GameSpot claims it was for, you know, not because of advertising pressure. There were a number of issues that factored into it. But they went in and changed, they posted an FAQ on their site. And they talked about how they changed the text in the video or just video review to more accurately reflect the score that he gave. I think a lot of people said, well, why didn't they change the score to reflect the review
right,
as opposed to the other way around? So, you know, it's controversial, and I don't really know what happened here, but GameSpot has been around for a better part of a decade and, you know, for a long time was the gold standard for game reviews. And now I think, you know, there's that question, which is very hard to win back people's trust after a controversy like that, to know, you know, really, are they giving a game, you know, an extra half point because the company just bought, you know, an extra $10 million of advertising.
Do you think that sites like Metacritic are going to become more important where they're able to at least aggregate and normalize some of these scores? I mean, how many people just go to one site to look at a score? I mean, sometimes you and I both know that, you know, when we're really into a game, you'll run around and you'll find the highest score and say, and that's the score it should have gotten. You know, you almost look for your own high score.
Yeah, I mean, I like going to those sites and just sort of seeing, you know, it's great to sort of at Metacritic where you start at the top and kind of, I always like to scroll down and see how low the scores go because it's fun on something like Halo. Like, who's the guy who gave Halo the worst score?
Right, and why? And what was his reasoning?
Yeah, because, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, it's no surprise to see how great Halo is. Like, I'm sure there'll be, you know, you go to Metacritic, they're probably 6 to 10 100s for Halo.
Right.
And it's a little weird because, you know, Metacritic, like, they have to translate everything into a score out of a 100.
Right, they have to normalize it a little bit.
Right, and there's a bit of a controversy because the guy who runs that, you know, he'll read a review in the New York Times of a movie, and he has to figure out what New York Times would rate it out of 100 when New York Times doesn't give a score.
Right.
So you just sort of have to guess what it's going to be, and that's a little controversial because those guys have a lot of power. But yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, looking at these various scores, to me though, it's like if you're going to really want to play a game, and you're going to invest $60, you want to see more than just a score. Right. You really want to read about the game, and that's why I think it's most important to sort of dig into a review. And, you know, no one, everyone knows Bioshock's great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a question of, I mean, is it a game that's going to be great for you? And so I think, you know, scores are important, and the thing is, you know, game companies are just so focused on this stuff. And, you know, I know, like, you know, for instance, like Mass Effect, when it got, you know, I think it was like a 9 or something on GameSpot, I mean, the BioWare guys are really bummed out by that. And it's like, you know, it's a thing where it's like people, because, you know, everyone's competitive in the games business, and because these scores are, you know, so important and they're so granular, it's, you know, people get really bummed out when they get like a 9 out of 10, like 90%, because another game got 9.5. And it just becomes, you know, because it's a sense of pride when you're focused on quality, you really want to get a great score. And, you know, I mean, you know the PR people. I mean, they spend, you know, all year strategizing and figuring out how to get these great scores, because I think there's really a view that the score of a game is directly correlated to the success of the game at retail.
Do you think we're going to get some, you know, you and I have kind of gone off the road a little bit here, which is fine, because we tend to do that. But, you know, we look at other more mature, they decide to mow the lawn outside my office right now, and I apologize. But you look at some more mature businesses or ones that have been around longer. For instance, the movie industry has been around for, you know, almost 100 years. And they've had certainly had reviews, and they have ratings, and they have all these things. And it doesn't feel like there's the same type of focus put on the reviews as there is in gaming.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an outgrowth of gaming coming from a technical background, because, you know, gaming is sort of like Silicon Valley technology, and I think people, the way they sort of view games is, you know, much like, you know, PC Magazine when they used to review, you know, WordPerfect.
Right.
And they sort of, you know, it's a very technical look at a game. I mean, you know, even when you read reviews for games, when you read a GameSpot review, and the back half of the review is all about the technical aspects. It's like, the graphics are like this, the sound's like this. I mean, you don't, you know, when you read a review of a big movie, you don't see a paragraph in the New York Times about, like, well, I thought the sound mix was pretty good, and I really loved, you know, the dialogue editing. It was, you know, quite good. And it's like, you know, people just don't focus on the technical aspects. So I think that's, you know, because something's technical, it's sort of, I think people feel it's quantifiable, and then that means you've got to give a score to it.
Yeah,
and yeah,
that may be fair, because I mean, when we all go to the theater, we look at it up on screen. It was all filmed using a Panavision camera, and the audio was mixed, so on and so forth. You know, some will have special effects, you know, but other games are using different different technology within the game, so they're going to they may look drastically different. So you're onto something there.
Yeah, so I think there are varying degrees of technical quality in games, and that's kind of led to this scoring system. And yeah, it's a little out of whack to see that, you know, people are getting down to tenth of points, and like, are we, you know, if we keep going down this sort of slippery slope, does it get to a point where, you know, we're getting like hundreds of points, and it's like, well, this game got a 9.16, and it's just like, you know, it's a little silly. But then I think, you know, when I see a score, it's, you know, you sort of kind of, it's really more for comparison purposes, I think.
Right.
But, you know, GameSpot changed their scores this year. They used to give tenths of a points, now they just give half points.
Right.
So I think, you know, these score systems are always changing and always being revised. And I think there's a little bit too much of a focus on the scores for these games, because no one's ever happy. And I also think, you know, game scores are kind of overinflated. And, you know, now it's like, if you don't get a 9, people are disappointed. But I'm just like, you know, shouldn't like an average game get a 5 out of 10?
Yeah, exactly.
And, but, you know, if someone gave, you know, a game a 6 out of 10, that's the problem. Is like, you know, you give a game 6 out of 10 and people just throw up their arms and are like, you know, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, 6 out of 10, whereas like, you know, that's really like, you know, that's a 3-star review, 3 out of 5.
Right.
Which is like what a lot of movies get, and some of you are on a star system. So that's part of the problem right now is, you know, there's no standard. And then, you know, I have lots of game companies complain to me because, you know, a site, I think it's like GameSpy or something, gives a star system out of 5. And so they give a game, you know, 4 out of 5 stars. Well, Metacritic translates that to 80%.
Right.
And they're like, well, we're not an 80% game. But it's like, do they give a game a 4-star or a 5-star? And, you know, people don't want to jump to perfect. So it's a really weird conversation to have about all these different sites, and no one has, you know, everyone has a different metric about how they give out, you know, scores and awards. And yeah, I think, you know, I would think over time the game industry will evolve to a point where the discussion will really be more about the story and the characters and the plot and the emotion of the game, you know, sort of this idea of new games journalism, talking about your experience with a game.
I'll tell you, the only ones, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I got to say this. You know who I rely on for my video game reviews?
Who?
Zero punctuation.
Actually, the Escapist guys were actually here this week. They were judges of the awards as well, and I met those guys. And I love, you know, Penny Arcade. I trust those guys. Look at, you know, when Gabe writes a review of a game and his thoughts, I mean, that really matters. I mean, like, I remember with Assassin's Creed, there was a case where it was getting some sort of, you know, moderate reviews online, and then he wrote a pretty positive thing about the game, and a lot of people checked it out based on that. And, you know, it's not, we give it the Penny Arcade score of, you know, 4 pennies out of a nickel or something like that.
Right.
I mean, it's like, they don't do something like that. They just sort of give, you know, their experience playing a game, saying, check it out, and people really trust those guys.
Right.
And, you know, people check out the game based on that. So, yeah, I think people are looking for sort of non-traditional venues to kind of get thoughts on different games. And, you know, in this day and age with, you know, being able to rent games and try them out in demos, I think a lot of people make decisions for themselves whether they want to buy a game.
Right.
If you can download a demo on Marketplace of a game, play it, you'll decide if you really want it or not. Based on your own experience, you don't need, you know, someone to tell you what it is. Because, I mean, you can't test drive a movie. I mean, sure, you can watch a trailer, but trailers can be misleading. But, I mean, most of the time when you download a game demo, you can, you know, get a chance to sample it. I mean, the tough thing is this year, you know, BioShock had a great demo. You know, Orange Box has a demo now. But, you know, there's no Mass Effect demo. There's no Halo demo. There's, you know, there's no demo right now for Call of Duty 4, and it's just interesting to see that, you know, there are actually fewer demos in the fall than I thought there were going to be. What's up with
that? Well, you know that as well as I. I mean, they have to make their holiday deadlines to get the product in stores, and they have to pull a team out to create a demo, and that just takes time.
I guess, but, like, Call of Duty 4 had a PC demo. Where was the 360 demo?
That's a great question. Let's ask the Infinity Wars guys. What's going on there?
Get them on the show. If you were here last night, you could ask them, Andrew.
Well, next, so I'm going to wrap it up now because I want to let you get back to your partying there in Vegas. You probably have a craps or baccarat table that you need to hit, right?
No, I'm just back in my room because I have to call up Major Minute on Inside Xbox to see if the new one's posted yet.
What do you think?
Congratulations on that, Major.
Thank you, my friend. What do you think of the dashboard update which rolled out this week?
I like it. It's you know, it's good. You know, sleek. You know, again, it's. I don't mean to attack Sony, but it's like, you know, the Xbox dashboard update twice a year, it takes approximately maybe 30 install.
36,
whereas, you know, PlayStation 3, it's like a 20-minute process to update your dashboard, and it happens, I would say, seems about twice a month now. You have to do, which is, you know, kind of annoying. I mean, Sony's got to get that fixed. But no, you guys do a great job with that. Love the Inside Xbox stuff. I think it's cool. The, you know, full screen buffering previews for movies and TV shows, and also, you know, Major's Minute. I think it's great. So no, it's great to see you on there. And I seem like every week you're gonna update that with sort of news, or what's gonna be.
It's one of those things where it's a shared group. You know, the community team here at Xbox.com owns that area, and we sit down and we're like, oh, what's gonna be hot this week? And I want to make sure that everyone knows this, and I mentioned this in my show as well. That's really a really general interest area. It's not for, like, some of the hardcores that may listen to you and I on this show. That's really, so they may see some stuff on there. They're like, well, yeah, I knew that. Well, yeah, maybe you do, but I'm sure there's some new people coming on that aren't aware who Major Nelson is, or that you could do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, I think it's just great to see you there. And but I don't love the photo of you, Major.
I don't love the photo of me either. So I need to maybe get with your stylist.
Stylist, the old pyro in the background.
Maybe, pyro in the background. Anyway, Jeff, I'm going to wrap it up here. I appreciate you giving us almost an hour of your time away from the Vegas Strip, because I know you like to party, and I want to get you back onto the Strip. So I appreciate you coming on and telling us all about the cool behind the scenes stories of the Spike Video Game Awards. They taped Friday night. They're airing Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, and I'm sure they'll be ad nauseum after that. Correct.
Yeah, one thing actually I should mention, totally forgot, is our Game Head VGA special, the best VGA special in the universe. I know we're a little pompous, but that's actually on Xbox Marketplace this weekend, and I believe it's actually a free download.
I'll have to go grab it. I did not know that.
So we made it free for this weekend. That's kind of a recap. It's actually a fun thing. There actually is a little bit of Portal cake in that special.
Good.
And we talked to a bunch of game journalists from around the country and recap sort of all the nominees. So it's a really fun show. We have Jonathan Coulton, who wrote the song I'm Still Alive, or Still Alive, at the end of Portal. Have you heard that song?
Absolutely. I had him on my show a few months ago.
little did I know. You see, I can't keep up with you, Major. But so anyway, he performs the song live on the show, which is there. He does an acoustic version of him performing it. So.
Excellent. Jeff, again, it's always great to have you on. Are you going to be at CES this year?
I actually will be, yes.
Good. So maybe we can connect in a month or so, and we'll have, well, you know, you and I can sit down and sit out by the pool at whatever swanky hotel you'll be hanging out at.
And find the body paint girls.
That's right? Find the body paint girl and the pyro.
Sounds like a weekend to me, Major.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Always great to have Jeff on the show because he brings a different viewpoint than many others. We've covered a lot of ground there. He and I haven't chatted on the phone for quite some time, as was obvious from that, because we started with the Video Game Awards, went through the whole Jeff Gertzman thing and the reviews, and kind of got off target. What, you know, you have the list in your hand. What are you, any surprises for you?
Really, there aren't. As I'm looking down, and I'm kind of nodding and going, yep. I don't think there's anything on here that surprises me at all.
There's only two games that are on there that you cannot get on the Xbox 360. Did you know that? There's
you mean the best Wii game?
Well,
and
there's
the best
actually
PS3 game?
There's actually three. Crysis,
okay. Right?
Legend of Zelda, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario Galaxy and
Ratchet and Clank. So four.
Ratchet and Clank. So there's four.
And all the others are available on 360.
Now, come on. I need to do an award show where that's the way they present the awards and with ladies painted up. That sounds rather interesting.
I might watch the show.
Now, you and I have not seen it by the time you and I are recording this, so we need to watch this.
I will set my TiVo and check it out.
So there's some behind-the-scenes information. Thank you, Jeff, for sharing that. And Jeff's going to be at CES. Are you going to be at CES? I keep asking you.
No, hang on. This is a...
What?
Okay, here's the surprising thing off this list.
Right.
So I'm going down here. I'm looking at, you know,
check,
best
check.
Multiplayer game, best shooter, best RPG. All makes sense. Most addictive video game fueled by do.
Well, if you listen to the interview, because you weren't here for it, I actually asked him that. I'm like, what does that mean?
Did you have to get a version of Mountain Dew named after your game to win that?
Exactly. It just seems a little strange.
Other than that, the list, they did a good job selecting the winners.
So that's and I don't select the winners, nor do you, because we work.
No, we're not even Heisman voters.
Yeah, we're not. Well, I am.
You are. No.
So, but I was talking to Jeff at the end of that interview about CES. Are you coming to CES or not, E? Because here's why I ask. If you're coming to CES, you and I are going to pick a night. And we're going to do a Major Nelson listening event at In-N-Out Burger. We're going to do a meetup at In-N-Out Burger.
I haven't actually booked my flight yet.
I haven't either.
Yes, I'm planning on going.
Okay. So we need to find the night. For those of you that are going to Las Vegas, going to CES, keep listening to the show. We're going to tell you when we're going to do a listener meetup at In-N-Out Burger. Really, it has to be, right?
There's no other place to do it. And that one is not far.
No, it's like over the highway, and it's right there on the right.
It's on the corner of some on-ramp.
And Dean Martin Highway.
Is it?
Yeah, I think Dean Martin's the one that goes this way across the highway.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
But,
I don't remember.
But, well, keep listening for that, and if he and I can figure it out, we'd love to have a listener meet up one night at In-N-Out Burger, because we can't... That's like everybody can go to In-N-Out Burger.
Yes.
You and I talk about it all the time.
No age issues
no
for
age
our
issues.
Under 21 listeners.
Everybody loves hamburgers. If you don't, then...
Double-double animal style, and you can have your fries
crispy
well
fries.
Done.
Is it crispy or well,
well done?
Done?
Well
I think
done, it was.
I think is what they
I'm
say.
Just going to get regular fries. I don't need them messed with.
Why don't you do the 100 by 100?
If we had enough people, I would do the 100 by 100.
Oof.
I would do the 100 by 100.
Oh boy.
And for those of you who don't know, that's a hamburger with 100 patties and 100 slices of cheese. You need a lot of people to eat that.
Oof. I think we're just better off ordering it individually, to be honest with you. So we'll be. In fact, here's my credentials. I didn't show you this. I got my credentials already.
Oh, I don't have mine yet, but I did go through registration already.
So I've got all the. I got a coupon. Anyway, so. Hold on, I'm dropping my stuff. So we'll be at CES, which is. Sorry, I'm off the microphone.
The week of January 7th.
Is that when it is?
Yep. Because January 7th is the national championship. For college football,
yeah.
It happens to be Monday.
7th,
I got to find a casino to watch the game at.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one that will gladly oblige you.
Yes, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
All right, we're going to get into one of our game features here, which is Name the Game. And Name the Game is something that we do each week. It was pioneered on this show.
It was?
I did. I pioneered it on
this
show.
Wow. Is it patented?
No.
Trademarked?
No, I put it every once in a while. I put a little registered trademark there on there to keep it confused. And they're like, did you really register? No, I just kind of type the R.
It's just fun to mess with people.
So here's the name of the game for last week. All right, that was Name the Game for last week. And E, what was that?
That was Call of Duty 4.
You're right, E, because I told you.
Yes.
COD4. COD4. And we have a winner. We actually have a cool new prize this week. 00 Gunner 1 Kills Z900. What? Anyway, I can't even.
Wait, what's this gamer tag? Hang on, I'm coming over to look.
So, yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So, congratulations. I'm just going to say Gunner. Congratulations to that. You grabbed yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X3 headset, E. These are brand new from Turtle Beach.
These are snazzy looking.
Why don't you explain what this is?
So, a big upgrade from the old X1s. Yep. These are wireless.
Right.
So, there's a dongle that plugs into your console.
Right.
And then it connects up to your controller, but there's no need anymore to have wires going from the headset all the way back to the console.
Yeah, there's infrared that are on the left and right up in the corner here. See them?
Yeah.
So it's a little infrared thing. So that's the Air Force X3 headset from our good friends at Turtle Beach. Thank you for sending those along, Turtle Beach. Those are good. Gunner, you got one of those.
You know what else I like about this? I'm going to have to give this a try.
What?
Independent volume for game and voice chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds cool. Okay, I'm going to try one of these.
I'm sorry, you just reminded me. I need to make a feature request
for
the dashboard.
Oh, to do just that?
No, you know what I want on the dashboard is when I get messages from people, the audio is really low.
Yeah.
I want them to crank that up.
I want it to be adjustable, cuz sometimes people yell and sometimes they're just talking and the mic is way too loud, and sometimes it sounds like the microphone is halfway down their throat and they're screaming at you.
That's a good point. So. I'll put that in there. So there you go. That was the Name of the Game. Congratulations, Gunner. You got yourself one of those cool headsets. Those are nice, aren't they?
Yeah, they look nice upgrade.
So it does stereo. It does the whole thing. So, all right, we've got another Name of the Game sound effect for this week. Here it is. All right, that was Name the Game for this week. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com, namethegame:, and your guess. And then in the body, please put your gamer tag and optionally where you're from. If you think you know what that's from. E, do you know where that's from?
I know where that's from. I was just going to say, I think that's an easy one.
Yeah, so that is.
Can I walk over here and send you a mail right now?
No, you cannot. So you are not eligible. E is not eligible. And if you send me an email, I'll take all the correct entries and put them into a hat and pull them out, and they will win a Turtle Beach Air Force X3 headset, including wireless audio and game audio.
How large is your hat? I mean, you've got to have a pretty big... You put all the names into a hat.
Oh,
you must have a pretty big
hat.
It's a virtual hat?
Oh, yeah, because they're all emails.
Well, you don't print them out and put them in a hat and
I have a folder.
Flip them around.
Major at Xbox.com. I got a folder. It's called The Hat, and that's where I put them.
You do not.
I do.
Oh, wow.
So, The Hat. All righty. So one of the other features we do each week is... is Xbox 101, and that is a feature that I, since he has joined the show, I make him do. So let me go ahead and bring Funky in here.
Xbox 101, this time with E and Major Nelson.
Okay, so this week we're actually going to go a little bit off the rails and revisit last week's Xbox 101. So last week, because...
This is a callback.
This is a callback. In honor of the new dashboard and a whole bunch of the new functionality, we decided to talk about how you can stream from your PC to your console using WMP11, Windows Media Player, or the Zune software. And I've gotten a number of messages, PMs, etc., from people going, hey, this used to work for me. It's not working anymore. What's going on? So I just wanted to cover that real quickly for people. If it's working for you, great. If you haven't tried it yet, go up to www.xbox.com/PC setup, and the links there are everything you need to download WMP11 or the new Zune client, which, by the way, is pretty darn cool, and stream to your console. If you're using the new Zune client and your streaming is not working...
It's not working, E. What do I do, E?
So here's what you do. This has worked for several people I know.
This is a possible workaround.
This is a possible workaround. It's not some blessed, oh, we found a problem and this is the appropriate way to do it. But for a number of you, this may fix it.
Okay.
The Zune client software builds a database where it basically stores, metadata about everything in your library, all your videos, all your music, all your photos, etc. You can close the Zune software, delete the database.
Right.
And restart it, and it will rebuild the database. Everyone I know who's had that problem and tried that, it fixed it for them. Now, if that doesn't make sense to you, or you're not savvy enough to, you know, figure out what I'm talking about and go hunt down the database on your own, you probably shouldn't try that. And certainly I'd recommend that you back up the database or, you know, copy it to another location or another name before you try that. If that doesn't work for you, go to www.zune.net, go into the forums. There are friendly Zune people that will help you out and get your problem figured out.
They have little red vests on like Walmart, and they'll help you out.
Exactly. Yes.
I think.
I think a lot of people don't know we have the Zune forums yet.
That's a good point.
But you can get to them on Zune.net, and there's a thread where people are talking about this, and there's, you know, people in there helping them out and getting them up and running.
So there you go. That's the Xbox One on for this week, which is kind of a follow-up to last week's Xbox One on. Because some people sent me email, and I forward them right over to you, Ian, which is what I always do.
Yes.
I don't even write anything. I just hit forward, boom, down, so. So that's the Xbox One on for this week. Thank you, E, for sharing that and indulging us with your wisdom.
That was wisdom.
Speaking of Xbox, speaking of that Xbox 101, I'm thinking of maybe bringing that to the Inside Xbox feature in video. So maybe making it really simple, because as I talked about
there you go.
At the beginning of the show, there's a lot of people that are getting Xboxes that may not be aware that the Xbox does certain things. Again, people that have listened to my show and you and I for many years know a lot of this. Like, oh, okay, I know that. But there's always new people coming on the Xbox, and the Inside Xbox is kind of the perfect way to reach them.
Yeah, because that makes sense. A lot of the people who are going to be watching that are going to be new customers who just got Xboxes for Christmas or maybe just got on Xbox Live. And there's also another great point I don't know if you've thought of.
Yes.
Since so many of those people are probably not listeners of the podcast,
right?
We don't have to come up with new Xbox 101s. We can recycle.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about E, not doing any work. No, no, no. That's a good point. You know, one thing I want to bring up that I forgot to mention during the show is, remember Unlock Xbox?
I do.
That is an event that I did where people basically got to write their video game for Doritos. And they announced the winner this week. So the winner,
oh, they did.
Yeah, the winner was the Doritos Dash. What are you doing over there?
I may have dropped something.
Okay. Doritos Dash of Destruction. So congratulations to Mike Borland of Selwickley, Pennsylvania. Mike Borland was the winner for the Doritos Dash of Destruction. So that was kind of cool. I recorded a bunch of things. I didn't know who the winner was, so I had to go over there and record a congratulations video for each one of them.
Oh, for all five?
Yeah, because I didn't know who it was, and they didn't know who it was. Like, just do one for each one. I'm like, all right. So I sat there and did them all.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
So congratulations. He's going to make his game into a... They're going to make his concept into a complete game.
On Xbox Live Arcade, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You are correct, E. You are correct. So you can actually go up and play the Flash version of this up at unlockxbox.com, and I'll put a link off to that if you want to see what that looks like.
Did you see they're making a Pirates versus Ninja dodgeball game for Live Arcade? Finally, we'll know pirates or ninjas.
Who's making that?
I don't remember. I just saw that and I busted up laughing.
I did not see that. You know, when I travel, I tend to I go off the grid for hours at a time, and you know, wasn't able to do this. I want to actually. You know what? You reminded me of something I need to talk about. A lot of people have asked me about marketplace content on the blog, because my blog has turned into this marketplace, the place to go for marketplace information.
Right.
So I posted something last week, you know, with some marketplace. I'm like, you know what? How do you go? And I asked this probably about 6 months ago, but I need to really seriously revisit this and figure out, should I not post any marketplace content at all? Do I just post the big stuff like the Halo maps and the Forza maps and the BioShock plasmids? I mean, I'm struggling with trying to figure out what to do here.
So here's what I would do if I were in your shoes.
Okay.
Not that that's actually necessarily interesting or not, but I'm going to share it with you anyways.
Please do.
I'd take out most of the details and just have a, you know, this pack for this game instead of, because the way you're doing it now.
I do everything. It's like right, what you see in the dashboard.
And it's ginormous. And sometimes you're scrolling for forever to get through all the song packs or, right. You know, whatever. And I just put a high level. And I might put some of the details if it's for a big game.
Right.
You know, it's for Halo, it's for Call of Duty, it's for BioShock. But for most of it, I think all you really need is, you know, here's a summary of what's up there today. There's content for this game, content for this game, content for this game.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
I'm here to help.
No, it's very interesting. I was thinking of either not doing it at all. So I'm going to talk to Lithion. Maybe he can make a separate section of the blog where I can just put all the marketplace stuff up there. Which would also work.
Oh yeah.
But mm-hmm. So we're gonna come up with something. But I want to get back to blogging. Because, you know, it just feels like I haven't been able to do it because I've been so busy with all this marketplace stuff, so I want to get back to do that. But I mean, there's a lot of people blogging now. We've the guys over at the Gamer Score, great guys over there. They got a lot of news covered.
Guys and gal.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The folks over there are doing it. Of course, Trixie does. She's always talking about her shoes and whatnot.
Purses,
handbags, yes. And whatnot.
Trixie enjoys to shop.
Yeah. So that's. But anyway, I hear you people. I agree with you. I want to post more interesting stuff. Trust me, I've got a lot to say. And I tend to do that during the show.
I agree with you. You do have a lot to say.
I do. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. What were you gonna say? Did you see all the cool stuff that we got in for Halo? The Halo 3. I'm doing a Halo 3 buying guide for the Inside Xbox.
You mean all the stuff over here I'm not allowed to take?
Right. Exactly. I keep slapping your hands.
Yes, I saw that.
I got clicks. I've got. Speaking of handbags, I have when they're guys, they're messenger bags.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I've got keychains. Check this keychain out. Hold on. Check this out. That's a cool keychain.
Oh, wow.
So that is a that is a shotgun shell from Halo 3.
With the logo on? Oh, nice.
I know how you like your shoddy E. So isn't that
That's
cool?
Really
so it's
nice.
It's a rubber shotgun shell. But they're not rubber in the game.
No, they're definitely not.
So that's there's some really cool stuff. I'll be doing that for Inside Xbox. And if you have any tips or any ideas for what you would like to see for Inside Xbox, send me an email. Major@xbox.com. Please put in the subject line Inside Xbox. Let me know what you'd like to see there. And just remember, this is going to be, you know, it has to be really interesting for a lot of people, some new Xbox owners and so forth, what you'd like to see. Because I was watching some of the videos. You want to talk about the videos for a second?
The ones that you've recorded already?
Yeah, the ones that are up there, like the Welcome to Inside Xbox. And then I did another one, which was about the dashboard update.
Right.
Which there was some buzz on the forums.
I do need to talk to you about that, actually.
Do you want
to?
There was some buzz on the forums, and even Lithion is like, he's like, he basically was accusing me of breaking the time-space continuum. Because
what?
I was doing a dashboard video that you watch in the dash about the dash. It was like, whoa!
Gotcha.
It was a complete mind-bender.
Okay.
So in that video, I actually had some people on my friends list.
Right.
One of them was, who works on our team, one of our testers, Lollipop.
Oh, right.
I was focusing on her, and you've been inundating her with friends requests. So... She's a great girl. She's really nice, and she probably won't say no because that's not her style.
At least until her list is full, which
right.
It probably is by now.
It was already. She didn't know what happened. It just started coming in. So send a message to Lollipop. You can see her.
So speaking of the part of that video where you're going through and showing the friends list.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
So you went and you looked at – you were showing the friends of friends feature.
And I went to your
– So no, that's not where I'm going. You went to Big VIP's list.
Right.
And you drilled into his friends list.
Right.
And you were showing, and here's how I can discover new people.
Right.
And you highlighted Mischief FD, one of the newest frag dolls.
Right.
And here's how I could send her a friend request.
Right.
You didn't actually send her a friend request.
No, I didn't.
So she's been inundated with messages and friend requests going, yeah, I saw you on Major's new thing. Will you be my friend because you're Major's friend? And she's like, I'm not Major's friend. Why doesn't Major like me?
Oh, God,
can you ask him? So why didn't you send her a friend's request?
I don't remember.
Because you certainly implied on the video that you were sending her a friend request.
One, that's why.
No, that doesn't buy. You're on the video going, see, and now I can send her a friend request. And then you have a convenient cut on to the next thing.
Yeah, well, we're moving along in that. All right, I got so many people want to send me a friend's request, and I go through them. In fact, you know what I need to do? I'm going to completely remove everybody off my friends list.
Even me?
Even you.
Okay.
I'm going to remove everybody off my friends list and start over. Because exactly what has happened has happened. You and I predicted this about a month ago when we knew about this feature. People are self-managing my friends list. Hey, Major, I see that so-and-so hasn't logged on in 3 days or 46 hours. Take him off and add me. Yes. Yeah, so, thank you. Thank you, community. Thank you. They're managing my friends list.
Excellent. That's awesome.
So, do you have any gadgets to talk about? Otherwise, we're going to go through because we're closing in on... how long is this show, E? I ask at the end of every show. We're almost 2 hours.
Yeah, it's been really long. The only gadget news I have, really, is I think I'm finally going to bite the bullet and upgrade my DirecTV receivers.
To what?
My HD TiVo?
Yeah.
It's starting to fade. It's starting to glitch and reboot, and it's not happy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite pieces of gear, but the end is
can
nigh.
Can you put a new hard drive in it?
Maybe. I don't know that it's the hard drive.
Oh, okay.
So
cool. Let's just have a moment of silence for E's DirecTiVo. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
And
other than that,
maybe there'll be something at CES this year.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So it just needs to last a little longer.
The good news is that because of the writer's strike, there's not a lot of stuff I really want to make sure records. Mm-hmm. So it's not so bad.
Okay. Speaking of writer's strike.
They're still on strike.
They are. I am going to try to get on. I'm trying to get Jesse Alexander on the show for next week.
Oh, yes, because there are. We're done with all the new episodes.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's reruns. Help, Jesse.
So I'm going to try to get Jesse on the show for next week. And do you see what I have to give away? Look at this. Do you know what that is?
Ooh,
nice. That is an Xbox 360 console and the Xbox 360 HD DVD player.
Signed by the cast?
Signed by the cast of Heroes. And I'm going to throw in the first season on HD DVD.
Nice.
So once I get Jesse on next week, I am going to give that we're going to give that prize away.
That's awesome. I still don't have the first season on HD.
Jesse's one of the writers on Heroes. He's on my friends list. I'm not going to tell you who he is on my friends list because now you can figure it out.
Well, how many hours has it been since he logged in? People will go look and find him that
right.
way.
Well, he's on strike, so he's always logged in. I bet you that's the whole thing. So I'm gonna as soon as I get Jesse on, I've got this great prize, a complete 360 console to give away along with the HD DVD player.
Score.
What else? What else you got, E? Who's here? What are these people outside my office?
I don't know, but I was actually reading all the signatures or attempting to. Mm-hmm. These are obviously legit because most of them I can't read.
Right. So. That or they're doctors. All right, we're going to wrap up the show right now, E. If you have anything left to say, now is the time to say it because I'm going to get into the stuff I need to say, which things like, thank you for promotional consideration.
Hey, wait. You said if I had anything to say, and then you didn't give me the opportunity to say anything.
I turned my back to you and kept going. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, hey, everybody, I'll see you on live on Tuesday, December 11th, playing Halo 3 and the Heroic Map Pack. That's where I'm going to be.
Goody. That's good for you.
I'm saying if there's people, they should get on and play. Maybe I'll run into them. Okay. We'll say hi.
Okay, that's good. I'm down with that. Maybe I'll buy a map pack and give it away next week.
Ooh, that'd be good.
I got a console to give away. I got a map pack to give away.
That would be perfect.
So much to give away. It's crazy. Are you done now?
I'm good.
All right.
Wait.
Yes.
No, actually, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. You sure?
Really? Go ahead.
Okay, take a drink. All right, there we go. All right, thanks to my friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. Also, thanks to CacheFly for their services. They're responsible for for serving up all of my files globally around the world, so you can get it when you want it, where you want it, how you want it, and all the rest of that stuff. So this is Larry here, Xbox Live's Major Nelson's saying, remember, have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint, because we do take action all the time on that, E.
Oh, yes.
As you know. And we'll talk to you hopefully next week. I'm, with the writer's strike, I'm actually running out of shows because I employ writers on the show.
Really?
Yes.
When can they start writing my stuff?
Maybe I don't.
Yeah.
If you look at the whiteboard, you'll clearly see there's no comedy, there's no writing on this show at all. So.
Well, there's plenty of comedy. It's just not on the whiteboard.
All right. So we'll see you. We'll see you next time. And I don't know. Next week we're going to talk about the end of year show. I did a big bonanza last year. We're going to talk about that next week if we should do one. So we'll talk to you next time. Bye bye. E.
Is this the after show?
It's what it says right here on my screen.
Okay.
It's flashing. We have no writer. We have no writers for the after show either.
Is it undulating in orange?
You know what? People ask... No. It's a good idea, though. People ask why I do an after show. E, do you want to explain it?
I don't know why we do an after show.
I don't know why I do it either. It was one of those things that started where when I was doing the show a couple years ago, I just realized, you know what, I have some more things to say, and I just buried it at the end. And so some people actually find this after show, and some people don't.
Which is why I was going to say this. That's why we're a little random in the after show, but we're also a little random in the main show.
Right, because we can kind of do that.
Yeah.
As we do.
So I do have one thing I want to make sure we cover while we're after showing.
Okay.
So I would like to say to, you know, all the listeners out there, hey, it's been great that you found me on Facebook. Glad to have you on my friends list, you know, but I'm not going to do tech support over Facebook. So for those of you sending me messages and then, you know, getting kind of angry and...
Are they getting angry with you?
I have people getting, not only sending me tech support messages, but then sending me some fairly nasty flame mail because I'm not helping them. If you have a problem, you should, you know, contact 1-800-4-MY-XBOX or your local support number, or maybe go visit the Xbox.com forums. I'm not going to provide tech support over Facebook. That's outside of work time.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you need to know that I get a lot of requests for whatnot. First of all, Ian and I don't have access to account information.
No. So I can't tell you what your credit card was that you signed up for with that account.
We can't help you with whatever support ticket number that you have. So you really need to call your local support line, and they'll be glad to help you.
And there are very few places where I won't provide tech support, but that's one of them. I mean, I've even provided tech support in like post-game lobbies before, but I'm not going to do it there.
Yeah, so that's we'd love to help you, but sometimes you need to go through the official resources because they have access to everything. And then if you have a problem, they can log it. So if they need more help later on, God forbid he or I get hit by a bus, they can still help you.
Yeah, I don't want to get hit by a bus.
I don't want to get hit by a bus either.
Or an elephant. Rhinoceros. Hippos. Hippopotami.
Okay.
I haven't been to a zoo in a
while. Do you know
what
I have here?
I don't. The box says induct, not in database.
I'm sending these out this week. These are the holiday cards. I have Xbox holiday cards that I
sent
to some of my my friends and colleagues.
Not just Xbox. I see games for Windows, Windows Mobile, Zune.
I sent one out to Jeff Keighley.
Media Room.
And no, people listening, I can't send you please don't send me a message saying, send me an Xbox Christmas card.
Oh, here's a remote with Sideshow.
Yeah. So there's some cool stuff on there. I'm going to send those out this week. And I have probably about, I think I have like 200 to send out.
That's a lot of cards to sign.
Yeah, well, you know, I sit in a conversation.
Actually, we did this last year, didn't we?
Yeah, I sat in a room and just kind of signed them off. So I'm going to do that again this year. We're getting to the holiday season, which is kind of a weird season around here. Because are you and I going to go to Fry's?
We should make a trip to Fry's. Although, honestly, for the first time since I've worked at Xbox, I'm actually going to take some vacation in the month of December.
Good.
I have never, like, taken Christmas to New Year's off in the 6.5 years I've worked here.
Oh, really?
No. So I'm actually going to do that this year.
Good for you.
Which means which will be an issue if you're going to do the holiday roundtable because I won't be here.
Oh, you'll come in.
I'm going out of town. I'm going to the beach and I'm taking a console, which may seem kind of odd to some people, but that's how I vacate.
Okay.
Can you say that? That's how I vacate?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'm thinking, well, that sounds right. He kind of is right. You are vacating.
Yeah, I'm actually going to get out of town, take my dogs to the beach, and play some games and goof off.
He's on holiday.
Yep. Or at least that's the plan.
That is the plan. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm probably just going to get ready for CES because I'm going to be away. And I haven't talked about this. I'm going away in March for a week. I'm going on a cruise.
So back to CES.
More about you.
Then I want to talk more about me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to know, what are your plans for CES? Do you know when you're going, when you're coming back yet?
I have to be there Sunday for the Bill Gates keynote, which is the last one. I'm going to be recording that.
Right.
And then I'll probably leave on Thursday.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking. The only thing I haven't decided is what time I'm going in Sunday because part of me does want to see the keynote just because it's the last one.
I may go Saturday night, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then I can just get up Sunday morning, hit one of the breakfast buffets, which are about 47 miles long.
Right.
And then go over, stroll over, and, you know, sitting backstage and pressing play and record is the easiest part. The hardest part is making sure the sound guys know that I need this over here, and we get my power, get my internet, and all that stuff.
Right. I'll give one trick that I was handing out to a couple of friends I was talking to, because I'm not going to work. I'm just going to hang out and look at things and see friends.
So he won't be providing tech support at CES either.
No. Well, that's happened. Did that happen last year? I think it did, actually. Anyways, the one trick is, if you're going to go to CES, don't plan on being able to see a lot of stuff the last day.
Right.
Because Thursday, the show closes 2 hours early. And last year, a lot of people took off like Thursday morning. Like, there were booths I was trying to go to on Thursday around lunchtime where they'd already torn everything down. They were gone.
Right.
So if you want to go and actually see stuff, make sure you're doing it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
And there should be some good parties.
I'm just looking at Jeff Keeley and I are talking about, there's a couple parties he and I may hit. We may record something when we're down there, so maybe it'll be you, me, and Jeff. Would you like to do that?
That'd be fun.
So that means I'll have to bring another microphone, because I don't like to travel with more than two.
Why? Is it like an odd-even number thing?
No, it's just I don't like interviewing lots of people. When I'm doing an interview, it's best one-to-one.
Gotcha.
Because when there's too many voices on a podcast, it gets confusing for the listener.
But remember, my job is basically to sit in the back and, you know,
right,
give snide comments.
Right.
I can do that easily to two people, not just one.
Right, right. So you'll continue to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so this after show is done and dusted. We're completely...
Done and dusted?
That's like a European term.
Like, as in you, like, dust pastry? Or?
No, done and dusted. I don't know. It's just like done and dusted. It's
okay, can someone from Europe please send an email to major@xbox.com and explain that to us, please?
I'm sure it's up on Wikipedia. Done and dusted.
Okay.
All right, we're done, E. I'm going to we'll see you next week, and look for us Tuesday when we're going to be playing some of the Halo maps.
Yep, see you on live, everybody.
Later.